Welcome to The Peep, Meaningful Minutes with the Wintonberry Community. The Peep is an early childhood podcast for families provided by the certified teaching staff at Wintonberry Early Childhood Magnet School. This is Episode 7, CPS for Parents Part 3, Solving Problems with Plan B. We'll now join Mrs. Jondro, the school social worker.
Hello, and welcome to Part 3 of CPS for Parents, that is Collaborative and Proactive Solutions developed by Dr. Ross Green for Parents. To recap parts one and two, we talked about changing your lens and looking at a child's challenging behavior as the result of their skills being overwhelmed, because that makes it much easier for us to move forward with problem solving with empathy. And also, we talked about identifying the unsolved problem or problems. And in order to do that, we are figuring out when do we see repeatedly unmet expectations. So, for example, putting on their shoes when they're asked. If that happens more than once a month, we see it a few times a week. Even if it's not every day, that could still count as an unsolved problem. And remembering that the wording of the unsolved problem needs to be free from the challenging behaviors, it needs to be free from any adult theories. So we would not want to say, I noticed that every time I ask you to put your shoes on, you are whining and yelling because you don't want to go to school. Because that has the challenging behavior and it has an adult theory. It would just simply be, I notice you're having difficulty putting your shoes on in the morning when I ask you, or something to that effect. To move on to the Plan B conversation. So why is it called Plan B? It is because it's to differentiate it from Plan A. So Plan A is when the adult imposes the solution. And that Plan A is kind of typically what we're used to. It's probably how we grew up. It's what we are used to doing. There's a lot of adult imposed solutions. And Plan B, in contrast, is when the adult and the child find a mutually satisfactory solution by working together. So it doesn't mean the child gets whatever they want. It has to also be acceptable to the adult. It's a mutually satisfactory solution. Plan B only tackles one problem at a time. And so the other problems are set aside for now. So that's called Plan C. So Plan B is when you're actively solving an identified problem. Plan C is when you're setting aside the expectations. So, and that can be a little tricky to wrap our heads around. But an example would be, okay, if your child is having trouble staying seated at the dinner table while everyone else finishes eating, and you might decide that, okay, that's not a problem. I want a Plan B right now. I have some other problems that are more pressing and more concerning. It's fine. For right now, I'm going to say to my child, you know what, for right now, you don't have to wait at the table after you're done eating. You're going to set aside that expectation. That's called Plan C. Right, but Plan B is what we're here to talk about today. So to get started with Plan B, first you're going to choose a problem to be the focus of the conversation. So prior to this, you're going to have made a list of some of the unsolved problems you or your child is facing. And then you're going to pick one based on how serious it is, how much it's impacting the child and other people, how safe it is, if it's a safety concern. That's how you're going to decide which one to start with. You're going to find a time to talk to your child proactively about the problem. So you're not going to try to be solving this in the moment when, to go back to our example, when they're not putting their shoes on. You're going to talk to them about it later in the day. Hopefully when you're relaxed, you can have a one-on-one conversation with them. And there are three steps to Plan B. Step one is empathy, step two is defining adult concerns, and step three is the invitation step. So in our first step, empathy. You're starting the conversation, you're saying to your child, I notice you're having difficulty with, for example, putting your shoes on in the morning, what's up? And you're going to fit in whatever your unsolved problem is in that sentence. And you want to hear what they have to say. You really want to listen to their concerns, understand what's getting in their way. And you're going to keep your own concerns to yourself through this step. You're really just going to talk to your child. You're going to ask more questions. You might have to rephrase your questions a little bit. You'll have to say things like, oh, okay, you don't want to put your shoes on. Tell me some more about that, to get down to what their concern really is. And it's something called drilling. Ross Green calls it drilling, which is asking questions to get to the deeper concerns. And on his website, livesinthebalance.org, he does have a drilling cheat sheet, which gives you some phrases to use and tips for that piece. The next step is defining adult concerns. So this is your turn to talk about what it is that you're worried about. And I think before you start the conversation, plan in your head and try to figure out what your concern really is, because sometimes we might not even really know what exactly is making it seem so urgent for us that this child meets the expectation, that our child meets this expectation. So you're going to explain your concerns about how the situation affects the child and the people around them. So back to the shoes example. Like, you know, I hear what you're saying about whatever reason they gave you, and I just want you to know that my concern is if you don't put your shoes on, then you might be late for school and you'll miss your morning activity, and I know you really like that. Or whatever your concern is. So you're sharing that with them. And then step three is the invitation step. And this is where you invite them to find a solution that addresses their concerns and your concerns. You say, I wonder if we could find a way to, you know, address whatever they're worried about and also help with whatever you're worrying about. And you need to come to a solution that addresses both sets of concerns. They might suggest something that does not address your concern. For example, my child the other night was having a concern about yucky toothpaste, and his first solution he suggested was that he would never brush his teeth again. So that would address his concern of not having to deal with the toothpaste. It did not address my concern of not wanting him to have cavities. So we couldn't use that one. We had to go back to the drawing board and come up with another solution. So once you have your plan, okay, now what? Great, we have a plan, now what? So first of all, make sure that everyone's following the plan. That sounds relatively simple, but sometimes we get caught up in things, we forget we have a plan, and next thing we know, we've forgotten to do X, Y, Z, or whatever we'd agreed to with your child. And also make sure your child is following the plan, and you can remind them, like, oh, do you remember we had this plan to help you with brushing your teeth, putting your shoes on, whatever it is. So once you're sure that you're both following the plan, you decide after a few days or after a few times, is the solution working? If it's not, you're going to bring the child back to the conversation and say, you know, I'm noticing we tried the solution. It doesn't seem to be working. You're still having difficulty with XYZ. You know, what can we do? And you're going to tweak the plan a little bit and come up with something that's either more realistic or does a better job addressing the concerns. If the solution is working, fantastic. You congratulate yourself on having solved a problem and move on to the next. And know that you have built some skills in your child to be able to consider your perspective and other people's feelings, how their actions impact others, and to develop some of their own problem-solving skills of like, okay, this is what's going on within me that is making this difficult, and how is it affecting other people, and what solution can I come up with? Now, there are a few questions that come up, so I'm just going to go over those really quickly. One that comes up semi-frequently is, can I do this with a three-year-old? And yes, absolutely. There is a book by Ross Green called Raising Human Beings. He has a section in it where he talks about doing Plan B with younger children. He even actually talks about kind of how you would adapt it to even do it with a baby, who obviously, you know, they're not talking to you, but a way to figure out their concerns and hit upon a mutually satisfactory solution to any of the problems. So you can absolutely do this with a three-year-old. And you can also do it with a child who has a difficult time communicating verbally. You can use visuals, videos, role play, various kind of different creative ways to help them get their concerns across. Another question, so my significant other is not on board with Plan B, with CPS, with any of this, what do I do? So you are going to want to talk to them about what's getting in their way. What is their concern about using this approach? And see what they have to say and tell them your concerns and hopefully come to an agreement. So that is all for today. If you are interested in more information, like I said, Russ Green has several books. Raising Human Beings is a great one. It's directed for home use of CPS. He also has written Lost at School and The Explosive Child, and he has a website called www.livesinthebalance.org. Thank you.
Visit our website at wec.bloomfieldschools.org for the CPS resources that Mrs. Jandro discussed. You can find our podcast on our website, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. This is our last episode for the school year, and you can find out when our next episode is available in the fall by checking the Peeper newsletter or by subscribing via our website or in the app. Thanks for listening.